This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin with an ominous report from the Bipartisan Commission studying weapons of mass destruction and the likelihood of one being deployed here on American soil. At a press conference Tuesday in the nation's capital, the bipartisan co-chairs of that committee said that the threat remains very real and the government's response so far in preparation for such an attack has been a failure. F grades literally across the board, with the exception of a couple of categories, especially in terms of the potential of a bioterror threat. WMD Commission Chairman, former Democratic Senator Bob Graham of Florida, says that right now the odds are looking like terrorists will probably likely succeed in a bioterror attack in less than 4 years.
It is more likely than not, under the current circumstances and without decisive and urgent commitment, that there will be a weapon of mass destruction used by a terrorist organization someplace on Earth between now and the end of 2013.
The co-chair of the commission is former Republican Missouri Senator Jim Talent. He says Americans need to be aware of the threat, and even more importantly, so do government officials here in Washington. He says Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups are actively seeking such weapons.
The terrorists are actively trying to get weapons of mass destruction. They are trying to hit us as hard as they can with the strongest asymmetric weapons that they can get.
So an F on bioterror and an F on homeland security, mixed grade on nuclear efforts at deterrence, especially Iran, North Korea, and Pakistan. And overall, on personnel, things are looking a little bit brighter. But as for the F grades, former 9/11 Commission member Jim Thompson, former governor of Illinois, says there are major problems here. He says it's obvious from how the government responded to the H1N1 threat a few months ago that we are not ready for a surprise attack of a biological variety.
We knew 6 months ahead of time that the H1N1 virus was coming last year, and yet we were slow to develop the vaccines, slow and inconsistent to distribute the vaccines, and this is just a precursor of what could happen if Al-Qaeda gets a hold of a biological weapon.
Speaking on MSNBC, the former governor and former 9/11 commission member says that the problem belongs with both parties in multiple branches of government. He says administrations of both parties and congressional leaders of both parties need to share the blame. And also to blame, he says, is a complete lack of imagination in trying to deter this threat.
We have to hold the national administration and the Congress in both parties responsible because they have not developed the funding, nor have they developed a national plan for dealing with bioterror. And that's the next step in the weapon of Al-Qaeda. We keep fighting the last war.
At WorldNetDaily.com and Dateline.RadioAmerica.org today, a conversation with the executive director of this special commission on weapons of mass destruction and proliferation. Randy Larson is his name. He's a retired Air Force colonel. He talks about the urgency of this threat. So urgent, in fact, he wants President Obama to make it a key priority in a State of the Union speech Wednesday night. On the economic front today, President Obama trying to get out front of the economic crisis once again, today by suggesting a 3-year freeze on discretionary spending. In other words, money not already sent for defense, national security, homeland security, foreign affairs, primarily domestic spending. Over at the White House, Robert Gibbs, the press secretary, says this freeze on discretionary spending at $477 billion over the next 3 years is going to yield some nice savings.
The important thing that you mentioned is that 3-year freeze over the course of 10 years will save on the order of $250 billion.
Republican activists have wasted no time in pointing out that multiple times on the presidential campaign trail, including in all 3 debates against John McCain, President Obama was against a spending freeze, saying it was like tackling the problem with a hatchet instead of a scalpel. Well, apparently times have changed, and the president sees now the benefits of a spending freeze. As for John McCain's reaction, he says it's a good start, but a lot more has to be done when you look at the amount of red ink we're facing.
Yes, I'm glad the president has ordered a spending freeze. I hope that he will look seriously at this package of reforms, because that alone, just a 3-year spending freeze, frankly, won't do it.
And Senator McCain is another person giving recommendations for the president's State of the Union message. He has one specifically targeting the appropriations process.
If the president is serious, and I believe he is, he should also say tomorrow night that he will veto the first appropriations bill that comes to his desk that has an earmark on it.
Two interviews regarding fiscal responsibility at WorldNetDaily.com and Dateline.RadioAmerica.org today. The first is with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. We'll get his reaction to the spending freeze proposal by the president and just how much good that would do in terms of discretionary spending. We'll also get his ideas on what else needs to be done in order to get the fiscal house in order. Also, my conversation with former Comptroller General of the United States, David Walker, who tells us that our real national debt isn't about $12 or $13 trillion. It's $56 trillion and growing rapidly. He'll lay out in brief form his prescription for turning this ship around. He says we need to slash spending, eliminate creating new programs, raise more revenue, and radically reform our entitlement programs. All of that, dateline.radioamerica.org and worldnetdaily.com. In another sign that getting rid of this debt could be a long effort, the U.S. Senate on Tuesday, by a vote of 53 to 46, rejecting the creation of a deficit panel that would have been made up primarily of members of Congress as well as some members of the Obama administration. That will not happen. Also, the U.S. Senate still has to deal with the possibility of raising the debt ceiling not once, but twice this year. More on that also in my conversation with Peter Sepp. One other financial issue is making headlines on Capitol Hill this week, specifically on the Senate side, and that's whether to reconfirm Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke. According to the latest unofficial whip count, it looks like the momentum is with Bernanke. 43 members of the Senate are committed to voting for his confirmation, 18 against. Like most things in the Senate, it'll take 60 to break any potential filibuster, but in the end, it looks as though he will probably pass. Many of those running for re-election this year, however, are voting against him in order to take that issue off the table. Also, among those who are not up this year, Vermont Independent Socialist Bernie Sanders, who says Bernanke is the problem because he never told the banks to stop their reckless behavior that led to the crisis of 2008.
We are in the midst of a severe recession right now. People are suffering from one end of this country to the other because, in fact, banks and financial institutions engaged in incredibly reckless and illegal behavior. The function of the Fed was to tell them they couldn't do that. The Fed failed at that job, so I don't know how anybody could think that Bernanke did a good job.
And finally, two passings to note. Former longtime Maryland Senator Charles Mathias is dead at the age of 87. And longtime TV actor Pernell Roberts of Bonanza and Trapper John MD passing away at the age of 81. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.